Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I have a question for all of the moms in the house and those watching. What do you want for Mother's Day? What do you want for Mother's Day? According to an article titled What Mothers Really Want for Mother's Day by Kara Murphy, written last year, she says, though flowers and chocolates are, she says, always appropriate, there are five things that most moms want for Mother's Day. Are you ready? You might be wanting, you know, the wheels turning, you're maybe guessing what it would be for you. Number one, a good night's sleep. I think it's great, especially for moms with younger children, right? Number two, a day without demands. That sounds pretty awesome, a day without demands. Number three, some sort of homemade gift. Doesn't have to be expensive, but there's something, you know, special about it. If it's made, you know, it's homemade, it's the thought put into it, the effort put into it. Number four, more pictures. and number five, kids that are good people. That's nice. Kids that turn out well, basically. So how about you? What do you want for Mother's Day? Do some of these things on this last list sound pretty great to you? We might put the question a similar but slightly different way by asking, how do you feel blessed? Whether on Mother's Day or any day for that matter, how do you feel blessed? And we can expand that not just to the moms now, we can ask any of us, how do you feel blessed? Well, this morning we come to a passage in our new series in the Gospel According to Luke where we encounter two women, both of whom have recently become mothers, who both indeed feel and are blessed. One of them, though, is especially blessed. In what ways are these two mothers blessed? What might we learn from the ways these mothers are blessed? And are there ways that they are blessed that we also are blessed, whether we are mothers or not? Let's consider these questions and more as we look at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45 this morning. Before we do, would you please join me in prayer? God, we thank you for this wonderful passage that tells us more than might meets the eye as we just read it on the surface. There's so much richness and depth, as in all of Scripture, that are found in this short passage. And I pray that you would just teach us from it. And I pray that what we learn would not just be information, but indeed would be part of the process of our own transformation. So God, we say, teach us your ways that we might walk in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 1, 39 through 45, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." We see the word blessed three times in this short passage, hence my title this morning. Well, what does it mean to be blessed? Scholar David Powell writes, "Blessed describes the happy situation of those God favors." We could say then that a person being blessed is in some way experiencing the grace and favor of God in such a way that God gives the person some degree of happiness. There are seven ways this passage portrays being blessed. Number one, blessed with babies. Children indeed are a gift from the Lord, Psalm 127 tells us. But look at this section. This section brings together two mothers, Mary and Elizabeth, both pregnant with babies, Jesus and John. It brings these two babies together for the first time while both are in the womb. Both mothers and both of their babies are essential to God's plan of salvation. And in the previous two passages that we saw 2 weeks ago and that we saw last week, we saw the encounter, the explanation of each of these pregnancies and each of these sons that were to be born, both John and Jesus. So first, we read about the miraculous birth that would come from a barren and elderly woman named Elizabeth. And it was told to Zechariah while he was burning incense in the temple chosen by Lot. And we talked about the chances of getting chosen to do that were such that it was pretty incredible, and it was the highlight of his ministry career to be chosen to do that. He encounters Gabriel. Gabriel says, your wife, Elizabeth, in her elderly age is going to give birth to a son. And Zechariah asks some questions, but behind those questions is clearly some doubt. I mean, after all, his wife's been barren and she's elderly. And the angel Gabriel, you know, sort of admonishes him, if not flat out, somewhat rebukes him for his lack of faith and his doubt, and he is made mute. And so he wasn't able to go back and tell his wife Elizabeth what he had heard. And then we saw last week that the angel Gabriel then appears to a young girl, Mary, who is betrothed but is not married and is a virgin. And she is told that she will miraculously conceive, that the child will be of the Holy Spirit, and that he will be holy. He will be the Son of the Most High. And she responds with great faith and trust, saying, behold, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Well, now we see the two passages we just saw, we see everyone's together here. And verses 39 and 40 tell us how Mary, after hearing the news from Gabriel of her miraculous conception, that she departed in haste. Notice that word, in haste. Brings out the idea that she's eager. She's excited. She's in somewhat of a rush to go see Elizabeth because she's been told by Gabriel that not only is Mary going to conceive, but that her relative in her elderly age, even though undoubtedly Mary knew that she had been barren, is also with child and has been for several months. And so she's eager, and she with haste goes to a town in Judah, and she comes to the house of Zechariah, who, by the way, is still mute, to see her relative Elizabeth, for the angel Gabriel had told her that Elizabeth was pregnant as well, of course. So Mary's told by the angel that nothing is impossible with God. We saw that last week. Important phrase, nothing is impossible with God. So Mary's going in haste, and it paints a picture for us. And I don't think I'm reading too much into this, of the excitement that she has about what's happened with her, but also what's happened with her relative Elizabeth. And look, guys, I mean, we've seen the excitement of two pregnant moms together, right? Like, have you ever met anybody that was expecting a child and somebody else, they were talking with somebody, and they were so excited, and they're hugging each other, and they're talking about their pregnancies? Yeah, we can understand this. This is an exciting moment in each of their lives, and especially because of the miraculous nature of these things. And Mary certainly knows more about those miraculous details than Elizabeth does, undoubtedly. However, interestingly, it's Elizabeth here that is doing the speaking in this passage, other than the greeting that, you know, Mary gives. And we aren't even told exactly what Mary said, but we know that she greets her. And then the rest of the conversation is pretty much Elizabeth talking. But the key is, and this brings us to the second one, the second way they're blessed is blessed with the Holy Spirit. How could Elizabeth know these things? Well, undoubtedly the Holy Spirit's revealed it to her. And Elizabeth responds. She hears Mary's greeting, and when she does, something immediately happens. Verse 41 tells us that first, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped. And the baby, of course, who would become John the Baptist, is the one doing the leaping. And we're also told that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's a cool thing. If we go back to the passage when Gabriel showed up in the temple in the presence of Zechariah, Gabriel told Zechariah that the baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the time in his mother's womb. Wow! I mean, we can sometimes read right over that, but let's not miss this. John the Baptist, while in his mother Elizabeth's womb, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Might explain the leaping. But it also, we are told, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit here. So, upon hearing this, and presumably being near Jesus, who's in Mary's womb, the baby has this physical reaction. He leaps in his mother's womb. Now, we're also told here, Elizabeth, upon hearing Mary's greeting, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she immediately, in being filled with the Holy Spirit, makes this very powerful proclamation directed to both Mary and to the baby Jesus in Mary's womb. Both the baby John and his mother Elizabeth are blessed with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Undoubtedly, Mary is as well, for she has conceived a child of the Holy Spirit, as we saw last week. And the child, the Son of the Most High, being the Son of God, is, of course, one with the Holy Spirit. The third way this passage portrays being blessed is when Elizabeth proclaims that Mary is blessed among women. There's two blessings mentioned in verse 42. Let's talk about the first one, that is Mary is blessed among women. Some scholars, in trying to describe what this phrase means, some scholars have said that she's pronouncing a blessing upon Mary, one that her husband Zechariah, who's still being mute, was not able to do. Now later in chapter 1, we'll see in a few weeks, Zechariah is able to speak again, and that's when he does convey a blessing upon Jesus after Jesus is born, as he's brought to the temple. But at this point, Zechariah is still mute. And so some say, well, Elizabeth is pronouncing this blessing upon Mary because the priest, her husband, Zechariah, could not. He's still mute. Okay. Others mention that Elizabeth is not so much conferring a blessing as much as she's acknowledging what scholar James Edwards writes, is she's just acknowledging a state of blessedness that Mary is already in. The reality of the situation is, I don't think it's either or. I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's both and. I think it's both. Because certainly Mary is blessed already. She has been given the privilege of being the mother of the Lord. The baby Jesus is in her womb. But I also do believe that Mary is really pronouncing a blessing as she's filled with the Holy Spirit. That blessing's also coming from God. It's as if she's just praying for them. It's almost like just rejoicing over what God's done, and there's this blessing that is given. It's notable that Elizabeth is ecstatic in this proclamation. Verse 42 tells us that she exclaims it with a loud cry. Elizabeth has great joy. She has enthusiasm. She is expressing her excitement over what she says here to Mary, and as we'll see, too, about the baby in her womb. Well, how is Mary blessed among women? As David Powell writes, Mary is blessed among women because of her maternal relationship with her son, Jesus. That's a really simple way to put it, but it's so true. She's blessed because she's carrying the Son of the Most High. Being the mother of Jesus is an incredible blessing, and she willingly receive that. She says, let it be to me according to your word, as we saw last week. Yet we also must remember from Luke chapter 1, 28, that when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, the greeting was, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. That's important. In other words, the angel Gabriel is saying to Mary that she has favor from God and the Lord is with her, prior to her becoming with child of the Holy Spirit, right? So she already has, prior to conceiving, this favor from the Lord and this presence of God with her, as the angel Gabriel tells her. So Mary was indeed blessed prior even to being a mother. But certainly she's even more blessed after now being a mother of Jesus. This brings us to the fourth way this passage portrays being blessed. Elizabeth also says to Mary, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And we could just put the point as, blessed is the fruit of Mary's womb. Elizabeth proclaims enthusiastically that Mary is blessed among women, and then she also says, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Scholar James Edwards writes in his commentary that of the two blessings, this one is more important because it recognizes that the child in Mary's womb is the work of God's saving grace. We might wonder, how did Elizabeth become aware of this? I mean, Zechariah is mute, so he couldn't tell her. She has not seen Mary yet. It seems the way the passage goes, right from Mary hearing the news from the angel Gabriel and finding out what's going to happen to, you know, depending on how much long after she first heard it that it actually happened and that she did conceive of the Holy Spirit, this idea that she went in haste seems to be that there wasn't this like long period of time after the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to when she actually meets with Elizabeth. Now, sure, she had to travel to get there, but it seems, you know, the way the passage reads at least, that it's likely that this was in a relatively short period of time. And I would like to propose that I doubt Mary was showing yet. You know, I don't think she had the big baby bump just yet. You know, I mean, it's very early on in her pregnancy. So how does Elizabeth know? How does Elizabeth know that she's blessed among women? How does she know that there's even a prayer? I mean, wait a second, you're betrothed. You haven't even consummated the marriage yet. How could you, wait a second, this isn't right. You know, it seems like that should have been the reaction, not blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. It should be like, what's going on here? Did you sin? You're not supposed to be pregnant yet. How does Elizabeth know? She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord reveals it to her. This is a prophetic kind of thing. As she's filled with the Holy Spirit, God's revealed to her, and God's called her and using her as part of the plan to pronounce this blessing and to encourage Mary. Because they haven't, I mean, the passage indicates they haven't even interacted yet. It's like Mary's like, hello. I mean, there's interaction in hello, but whatever the greeting was, we're not told of a lengthy conversation where Mary articulates the whole thing that Gabriel revealed to her. We're basically told, because she says, at the sound of your greeting. In other words, at hello, the leaping occurred, and at hello, pretty much what follows is this blessing. Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. How did Elizabeth know? The Lord revealed it to her. This is a prophetic statement, a prophetic blessing that she's conferring on her. This is so cool. And this highlights for us the significance of who Jesus is. And it highlights for us as readers the work of God and all that is happening in the progression of God's plan. Because, you know, we're reading up to this point about how this is, you know, how it's being announced, how it's developed. Now we see both women pregnant. We see them interacting for the first time, and we see this prophetic statement of blessing. Next we see, number five, a fifth way this passage portrays being blessed, and that is, blessed is the mother of the Lord. Elizabeth continues speaking after pronouncing the blessing on Mary and upon the fruit of her womb, and she says in verse 43, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, clearly, Elizabeth feels blessed to even be in her younger relative Mary's presence. You know, we might think, you know, because we know that Elizabeth is of elderly age. She's been barren. She's been without child. And we by all means, think that Mary is a very, very young woman because she's betrothed. So, you know, some have suggested Mary was in her teen years still. Could be 18, could be 19, but she's certainly a young woman. And usually, right, the way this ancient culture, especially this time period, that there was a significant respect from a younger relative to a more elderly relative, right? Makes sense? But look at it's kind of a almost reversal here. Elizabeth is the one showing this significant respect to her younger relative, Who am I that the mother of my Lord would come even to see me? It's pretty fascinating. So don't miss this. Again, the Lord's revealed to Elizabeth what's going on. She's prophetically proclaiming this, but she feels even being blessed in her younger relative Mary's presence. Why? Because Mary's carrying the Lord. Mary's the mother of the Lord. 6, we see in this passage portrayal of being blessed with joy. Blessed with joy. Look with me at verse 44. Elizabeth explains to Mary what Luke the narrator already told us. Luke the narrator told us what happened, that the baby leaped. Now Elizabeth is telling Mary that the baby leaped. So it's being reiterated here. But now as it's being reiterated, as Elizabeth tells it, she connects the leaping with joy. You notice that? The narrator, Luke, didn't tell us back in the first few verses that upon Mary's greeting, the baby in Mary's womb, or in Elizabeth's womb, leaped for joy. It didn't say that, the joy part. But now it's filling it in more. It's elaborating. And we're told here, as Elizabeth tells Mary, that the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Specifically, the joy is mentioned. So, most pregnant mothers have experienced movement in the womb, right? You know, my wife had 3 children, you know, I'd feel an elbow, you know, I'd feel, oh my gosh, baby just kicked, right? And sometimes those things are quite pronounced, you know, you can, like, whoa, I just saw something move across my wife's whole belly, you know, it's like, that's kind of weird, it's kind of wild, it's quite amazing. But there's something even more dramatic here with the term leaped for joy. I don't want to get too imaginative here, but, you know, what comes to my mind is, you know, is it like a circus thing? It's like flips or what? You know, obviously there's the umbilical cord, so. But there's a significant movement is the point, right? There's significant movement. And it's connected here with joy. I preached this passage 20 years ago, and at the time I said, it's as if, I didn't include it this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's as if John the Baptist is like, yippee! So you see why I was hesitant to do that this morning, but let's just keep it real. There's joy. There's joy, and the joy is directly connected with being in the presence of Jesus for the first time. And a lot of people forget that John the Baptist and Jesus are related. Jesus is in Mary's womb, John the Baptist is in Elizabeth's womb, and John the Baptist makes a leap for joy, undoubtedly, because again, he's filled with the Holy Spirit from in the mother's womb, so how does he know? Even as a baby, he knows, because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. This baby Jesus gives joy. This baby Jesus, even while in the womb, gives joy. Even to someone else in the womb. There's blessings of great joy from the very presence of God, Jesus, in this passage. Lastly, 7, we see this passage portray that it is blessed to believe in the Lord's fulfillment. It's blessed to believe in the Lord's fulfillment. Elizabeth's closing comments in this section to Mary that Luke records for us comes back to what has been a theme so far already in our study in the Gospel according to Luke, and that is the plan of God for salvation, that God is indeed going to fulfill. Elizabeth states in verse 45, "And blessed is she," meaning you, Mary, "who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And remember, we saw last week in verse 38 that when Gabriel tells Mary the plan of God for her to be the mother of the Most High, Mary stated in response to this revelation from God, "Behold, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word." Unlike Zechariah's questioning and doubt at the angel Gabriel, Mary's response is one of belief, one of trust, and one of great faith. Now here Elizabeth tells Mary that she is blessed for believing that what God spoke to her through Gabriel would indeed be fulfilled. And indeed what Luke is showing us is that that fulfillment is progressively occurring. There's a progressive fulfillment. It's starting to happen just as God said, because both women now are pregnant and both women now are together. And all involved here are part of God's plan of salvation. Elizabeth is part of the plan, Mary is part of the plan, and definitely each of their sons are part of the plan. And this gives us confidence. It gives them confidence that God will continue to fulfill the purposes and plans that he's revealed. But it gives us who are reading the confidence, and good old Theophilus, to whom this book was dedicated, the confidence that, look, when God, not only does God have a plan, but when God, and sometimes God reveals that plan, and here's the thing, God always fulfills that plan. And yes, it's a process of fulfilling the plan, but he always does it. And so Elizabeth proclaims to Mary that Mary is blessed for believing in the Lord's fulfillment as God continues to fulfill his purposes and plans here. So we've seen several ways, seven to be exact, seven ways this passage portrays being blessed. And certainly some of these ways of being blessed are unique to Elizabeth and Mary, right? We have to just acknowledge that this is a special, significant moment in all of salvation history. When else would the word become flesh, you know, as Jesus comes and is you know, in the womb? So certainly this is a significant moment in all of what we would call salvation history that is unique blessing and experience to these women. They're all part of God's plan of salvation that he's progressively fulfilling. However, what are some takeaways for you and me? There are actually some things in this passage that can apply to you and me. There's several. Even if we are not moms, and even if we are not quite experiencing, no one will, the same dynamic or the same events that occurred with Mary and Elizabeth, of course, because again, those are unique to Jesus and John the Baptist. But let me suggest five takeaways for us, five ways that we can be blessed, that we can draw out of from this passage. Number one, you can be blessed with the Son of the Most High, Jesus. You too can be blessed with the Son of the Most High, Jesus. The purpose and plan of God for Jesus coming into the world was for him to bring us into a right relationship with him, with God through him. Jesus is born. He lives a perfect life without sin. He then goes to a cross. He takes the punishment and penalty that we deserve for our sin upon himself. And when he dies, sin is put to death with him. So that we, in receiving God's gift of love and forgiveness, might have our sin taken and paid for by him. Then Jesus rises from the dead on the third day to new life, that we who believe in him might also have new life. If you believe this good news of the gospel, then you can be blessed with the Son of the Most High in your life. No, not the exact same way that Mary did, but the Son of the Most High can be in your life. If we receive the gift of his love and forgiveness by faith, which means to turn to him from sin, to trust him to guide and direct our lives, to love and live for him, we can have an ongoing relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We become blessed with Jesus in our lives. Are you blessed with the Son of the Most High, Jesus? You can be. And if you've received this, you already are. You are, if you have turned to and trusted in Jesus, you are blessed with the Son of the Most High. You know, think about that this week. Just try that. Try thinking every day this week. Let's do a little experiment. It just popped in my head. Let's all do it. Let's try to do this. Let's try to think every day for a week until next Sunday, and you might like it so much you're going to try to keep doing it, that just thank God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm blessed with the Son of the Most High in my life. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is in my life. It can be as simple as that. You can put it in your own words. But if we can just kind of have an acknowledgement that God is in our life, that he's with us, I think that's going to change our whole outlook. Because we are really blessed with that, but I think sometimes we take it for granted, sometimes we forget it, sometimes I'm more focused on the problems I'm dealing with or focused on the things I gotta do. Oh yeah, I'm blessed with the Lord Jesus, right? And maybe that would be a great reminder for us to try to do this week. You can be blessed with the Son of the Most High, Jesus. If you've received his love and forgiveness, you are indeed blessed with the Son of the Most High, Jesus. Number two, you can be blessed with the Holy Spirit. The blessing of receiving God's love and forgiveness through faith in Jesus is that we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then permanently takes residence in our lives. The scripture tells us we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 1 that we are given the Holy Spirit as a down pledge of our inheritance as saints. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians 1, as a down pledge of our inheritance as saints. That means that we're permanently indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And so God's presence is in our lives. The Holy Spirit dwelling is the way in which we experience God's presence in our lives and we experience Jesus being with us. But the Holy Spirit is also the power source in our lives for living the Christian life in every way. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be our helper. Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin and prompt us to repentance. So if you feel that check in your spirit, you feel something that's not quite right, that's a gift from God. It's the Holy Spirit using the sense of conviction to redirect you back on the will and ways of God, or to prompt you to go to God for forgiveness. It's always a good thing. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do ministry. The Holy Spirit is God's empowerment, especially to be a witness in the world and to the world. And the Holy Spirit is what produces in us good character in our lives that Galatians 5 talks about, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The Holy Spirit does all of that. And are you blessed with the Holy Spirit? You are if you have turned to and trusted Jesus. Third, you can be blessed with joy. There is evident joy in this passage. Joy from being in the presence of Jesus even while he was in the womb. We certainly see Mary and Elizabeth's joy at what God is doing. And we see the joy of John the Baptist as he leaps in the womb. And the joy comes from all the ways here that the women are blessed, all the ways that this passage discusses. But you can be blessed with joy. How? From all the ways you're blessed, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with sins being forgiven, with God being with you, with all the ways mentioned here, that gives joy. A couple of verses I really like. One of them is Psalm 16, verse 11. In your presence is the fullness of joy. This is David writing. David says, in your presence, speaking to God, in your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Are you looking for joy? We all are. Sometimes we look in the wrong places, but ultimate joy is found in God's presence, according to David. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That doesn't mean there's not other things that we can't enjoy. God gives us other things to enjoy too. But the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate joy we're looking for is found in him. Jesus as well says this in John 15, 11. There's Psalm 16, 11. There's John 15, 11. John 15, 11, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be, do you know it? Full. That your joy may be full. God wants us to have that full joy. And that full joy is given to us by Jesus. So you can be blessed with joy. Full and ultimate joy is found with God and it comes to us through Jesus. Are you blessed with joy? You can be, and you are, if you have turned to and trusted in Jesus. Number four, you can be blessed with being part of God's plan. God has a plan that he fulfills, and part of the way he blesses us is involving us in his plan. Now, somehow, in some way, God will uniquely involve you in carrying out his plan. Because he has a specific plan for your life. Our response is to be, as we see in this passage, or really as we see from the passage we saw last week, it should be like Mary, Behold, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. If we could only have that kind of response of faith and trust. Are you blessed with being part of God's plan? You can be, and you are, if you have turned to and trusted in Jesus. May your response and mine be like Mary's, one of belief, trust, and faith. And lastly, number five, you can be blessed. Another way you can be blessed that we can see from this passage is with believing in the Lord's fulfillment. You know, Elizabeth told Mary in her last words in this passage, she's blessed for believing that there would be fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken. Think of all the things that the Lord has spoken to us. I mean, we have a whole book called the Bible filled with promises of things God has spoken to us. We can count on them. We can trust them. You can trust them. How can you be sure? How can you be sure that you can trust them? Whether it's something straight in Scripture or something you feel that God's leading you to do, calling you to do. Well, God progressively fulfills his plan. We see that here. And God always eventually, in God's time, perfectly fulfills his purposes and plans. And you can see all the ways that he does that in Scripture as you read the Bible, as you get to know God more. But the greatest reason for you and me to trust in the fulfillment of the Lord's purposes and plans, the greatest reason that you can trust Jesus with your life is what Jesus has done in the gospel. Think about it. He's paid the ultimate sacrifice. He laid down his life for you out of love for you. He went to a cross to take the penalty and punishment for sin that you and I deserve. He took it upon himself and he died for that sin so that we would not have to take that penalty and punishment ourselves. And now he gives us a love relationship with him. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us his presence in our lives. He gives us all the things we've talked about here. And if he has gone to that extent for you and me, which he has, that's a great reason that you and I can trust him to fulfill his purposes and plans for his glory and ultimately, even if it's hard, for our good. Are you blessed with believing in the Lord's fulfillment? You can be. If you turn to and trust Jesus, and God wants us to believe and trust in his fulfillment, so will you. Worship team, will you come on up? I'm going to close in prayer. We're going to sing a final song of worship. God, we thank you for your incredible ways in which you have blessed. We thank you for the significant and unique ways you blessed Mary and Elizabeth as articulated in this passage. And we thank you for the ways this passage gives us ways to perceive and understand that we have also been blessed. So Lord, we thank you for the evident grace and these blessings that we don't deserve. And we pray, God, that in response to the ways you've blessed us, that we will trust you. We will trust you as we seek to be used by you and live out your perfect purposes and plans and believe that you will fulfill them. And we pray, Lord God, that you will be in our life, that we will just remember that reality. Even every day this week, we'll remind ourselves of that wonderful truth that the Son of the Most High, Jesus, is with us. Thank you for making that possible through what you have done, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?